Hello friends, it's good to be with you again. We continue our series on the Psalms today by looking at one of the great Psalms of hope, Psalm 22. It's certainly an appropriate message for us in our day. Psalm 22 is a messianic psalm, and John MacArthur, in his commentary of Psalm 22, says it presents the reader with a great contrast in mood. Lament characterizes the first 21 verses, while praise and thanksgiving describe the last 10 verses. Prayer accounts for this dramatic shift from lament to praise. It is the story of first being God forsaken and then God found and filled. It was applied immediately to David and ultimately to the greater David, Messiah. The New Testament contains 15 messianic quotations of or allusions to this psalm, leading some in the early church to label it the fifth gospel. And so we read the words of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet, I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him, and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from them, but he has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nation shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow down all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. Just consider this for a moment. How did David, who lived 1,000 years before Jesus, how did he describe Jesus' crucifixion in such detail? He wrote the psalm before the Roman Empire even existed, before crucifixion was invented as a means of torture and death. Now we can understand that Jesus may have chosen to quote the psalm as he was dying on the cross, but how did David literally quote the Pharisees as they stood there taunting Jesus while he was on the cross? Verse 8, David writes, "He trusts in the Lord, let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him." Now compare this to the Pharisee's words in Matthew 27, verse 43 at Calvary. He trusts in God, let God deliver him now, if he desires him, for he said, I am the Son of God. So the first thing we see in the psalm is that it is a messianic, it is a prophetic psalm. But all of this was planned before the world began. 1 Peter 1 from verse 18 says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. Jesus knew all of this. He has known for eternity what was to happen at Calvary, because he is God. But how could David have known 1,000 years before that the soldiers would divide his clothing and cast lots for it? How could David have known any of this? It was a prophetic word given to him by God. Now, as far as David knew, he was simply describing his own agony and his feelings of rejection in metaphorical terms. He had no clue that he was giving a precise description of the death of his descendant, the ultimate king of Israel, the Messiah, who would be called the Son of David. The Pharisees would have known the words of Psalm 22 by heart, but they failed to see that they had anything to do with Jesus. Somebody once said that he wondered if Jesus purposely quoted the first verse of Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Simply to get the Pharisees to finish the rest of the psalm in their heads. But they were blind to the awful reality of what they were doing. Psalm 22 is an amazing word of prophecy. Secondly, it is an expression of human emotion. The Psalms are rich with emotion. They express emotions of despair and doubt, as well as joy and hope. The physical, emotional, and spiritual torture which Jesus underwent on the cross doesn't bear thinking about. So it's little wonder that he quoted the psalm as he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So we can know that Jesus experienced the same emotions that we do. David in the psalm expresses the full range of human emotions as he writes these words. He goes from one extreme to another, from the pit of despair to exhilarating praise, from wondering why God has forsaken him to expressing confidence that God will rule the nations. He goes from feeling like a worm to understanding his value before God. You see, David is not only expressing his own emotions, but he's expressing the emotions that all of us have felt at different times in our lives. God understands our emotions and draws near to us when we are feeling abandoned by the world and even by him. And behind this struggle is a faith that God knows what he is doing, even if we don't. The problem with our struggles is that we only see what is happening from our own perspective. We have very limited understanding of how God works all things for our good and for his eternal purposes. We don't understand what is happening, even though we desperately want to believe that God knows what he is doing. Sometimes all we see is the chaos, but God sees the whole picture. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 8 from verse 37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now here again we see the danger of cutting and pasting a verse out of context to use as a motivational fridge magnet or bumper sticker. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. This is a favorite verse of the word of faith, name it and claim it heretics, who teach us that all God wants for us is for us to be healthy, wealthy and happy. But you need to read the whole verse firstly, Because in verse 37, Paul writes, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors." Now, what are these things? And he lists them for us in an earlier verse, in verse 35. These things are tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and sword. People like Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, and Stephen Furtick, they love to use verses like Romans 8:37 to teach their false theologies. But they stay well clear of verse 35 because it doesn't suit their agendas. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and sword. These are among the real consequences of living in a broken world. But preaching on these subjects doesn't get you onto bestseller lists. So we have the whole gambit of human emotion expressed in Psalm 22. Thirdly, the psalm moves on to a great message of hope. And it begins with David talking about how abandoned he feels by God. And David lists the things which are going against him in this life. He talks about that sinking feeling of betrayal, of hurt and disappointment, about how his life has turned out. But he ends the psalm by saying he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but he has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. You see, we have some options in this life. Trust God or lose hope. Believe in God or not. Hang in or give up. The choice is between God and nothing. If people choose not to believe in God, that is their choice. But what do you believe in if you don't believe in God? Do you believe in an empty universe? Do you believe that there is no meaning or point to your life? If you don't go to God, to whom do you go? But by his grace, he has opened our eyes to who he is, and he has revealed his eternal plan of salvation to those who would put their faith in the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. A couple of days ago on our Facebook page, I posted a quote from the Bible teacher Stephen Lawson. "The gospel is the greatest news ever to be proclaimed to the world. As the hour grows darker, the message of the cross grows brighter. Now, more than ever, we must spread the only hope that exists." Of course, life is still hard. There is no denying that. But we have the hope of the gospel of Christ. There are valleys, but there is a path out of the valleys. God knows our needs. We not might be able to see it, but he is still very much in control. God is still God, and he is still on the throne. And that is why we cannot and we do not give up. I want to close with Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 4, reading from verse 16. "We do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." That is our hope. Stay strong in the Lord, and God bless you.